throwing the conclusion up before I started, do we? Good morning. Here we are, once again. There was a man stood in front of the local magistrate, being charged with drunkenness and disturbing the peace. When asked by the magistrate for his plea, the man stood up and stated, "Not guilty, Your Honour. You see, I'm a Christian. It was not me that was drunk or causing a public disturbance, but it was the old man, my flesh. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, I am not guilty, Your Honour." "Is that right?" said the judge. "Well, I will sentence the old man. Your flesh will get 30 days imprisonment, and I sentence you as an accomplice. Another 30 days, take him away." It's a funny story, and we may laugh, but we're guilty. We're guilty. And everybody needs forgiveness.
Amen.
Everybody. Certainly us. When we live in a crazy time, the last days, when laws are being changed, when right is called wrong, and wrong is called right, when people are murdering innocent people, thinking they're doing a favor for God. Crazy, evil days. We and the world need forgiveness. We're all guilty. Everybody has fallen short. We preached the cross at Easter. Brian and I, we preached it in detail. So I won't be going in too much detail today, but I'll be speaking about what Jesus said on the cross. Sorry. There we are. The cost and the curse of the cross. And Jesus, his experience of it. It was absolutely grueling, painful, distressing. Such a violent experience. It's even hard for us Christians to comprehend. He'd been flogged with an inch of his life. Pieces of bone tied into the lash so it would dig into the flesh of his back. And when it's pulled out, rip the flesh out of his back. His beard ripped out of his face. Punched so many times he was disfigured. Then he carried the cross until complete exhaustion. His hands, his feet nailed into the wooden beams, lifted up and dropped. His mother, his brother, the disciples, despairing, crying. The crowds were hurling insults, laughing and scorning. The Pharisees and the religious leaders sneering and scowling. He saved others, but he can't save himself. As all this is taking place, the Roman guard, hearts calloused and hardened, another day at the office, casting lots for his clothing. And his first words upon the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And it's echoed down the centuries. Mercy, triumphed over judgment. Hallelujah. What would have we said? Where are we in the above picture? Are you a watcher or a mocker? I know where I would have been. In Hebrews it says, when Jesus Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and most perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place for all of us by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Hallelujah. The next time we confess or repent of our sins, it's good for us to remember the cost. It was free, but it wasn't cheap. It cost. It cost. The first to apologize is the bravest. As you guessed, I'm going to speak about forgiveness. And it's such a deep, relevant subject. There's so many things in this life, every day, every week, that cling to us, that seek to pull us in a different direction than God wants us to go. There's so much injustice. There's so much pain in our own lives and around the people around us. We'd be blind not to see it and how vastly it affects us all. Before I even attempt, I'm going to pray. Dear Father God, as I touch briefly on this subject of forgiveness, which you purchased for us in your own blood upon the cross, I pray that we could comprehend a little deeper, a little more about what that means and what it looks like in Skopje 2015. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. The death of Jesus Christ on a cross is an eternal testimony before God and before man that our sins have sufficiently been dealt with, which gives us confidence that we receive mercy on the day of judgment and not punishment. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. Amen. Have you received mercy? If not, why not? We love because he first loved us. We can forgive because he first forgave us. Amen. And those who have been forgiven much love much. And we've all been forgiven much. You see, the problem is we decompartmentalize everything, especially us guys. We put things in drawers, in its place, A, B, C, D. At least we're not as bad as him. See, that's what we do. That's what the enemy would have us do. But the Bible is a mirror where we're to measure up against Jesus, not against somebody lower, somebody worse off than ourselves. We're all sinners, saved by grace, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're guilty. Forgiveness is something all of us want to receive, but most of us hesitate to give. And that should not be the case, because the Bible speaks about forgiveness, and it is conditional. It's conditional upon two things: repentance Repentance is a funny thing, misunderstood. Repentance means a sincere resolve to turn away from sin and turn towards God. Before I knew God, I lived a life of self. For me, myself, and I. But when God broke in my time and experience, my life changed. Everything changed. And that's what it means to repent. It is to turn around. It's not just to say sorry. It's not being caught and then saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." That isn't repentance, friends. That's sin. That's sin. Forgiveness is conditional. To turn around. Resolve. What does that mean? Resolve. It means to choose. Before I knew God, I didn't have the power to choose. I share my testimony quite often. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a drug addict. People say, "Martin, why do you mention that stuff?" I mention it because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It would be a lot easier for me never, ever to mention it again if I let my pride get in the way. But I remember where I came from and where God has brought me. And by the grace of God go I. I was nothing. I used to be a liar. I used to be a thief. I used to be a cheat. And now I'm not. What am I rejoicing in? I'm rejoicing in the power of God. I couldn't do it in my own strength. I tried and failed. Turned over more new leaves than a fall. Just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. But now, when we repent of our behavior, when we turn round and give our life to God, do a 180 degree turn. That's repentance. When I didn't trust in God, now I trust in God. It's not saying sorry. It is a decision to leave the old life behind, yes. See, Christ imparted power into me when I accepted Him. Power to stop taking drugs. Power to stop drinking. Power to stop lying. Power to stop swearing. To stop cheating. That, when it says, produce fruit according to repentance. That's what it looks like. And it's not something I'm rejoicing in what I've done. But I made a decision. I made a choice. And that's what we must do. Choose. Turn around. That's repentance. Does it mean I'll be sinless? Certainly not. But when I comprehend the price Jesus paid, when I comprehend the cross and its shame and the punishment that I deserve that Christ took for me, I will sin less. I will sin less. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of direction. Repentance, like forgiveness, is now a choice that we have the freedom to make. It is a choice because of the blood and death of Jesus Christ. He's obtained for us the power of forgiveness and reconciliation. And now that I've experienced forgiveness, it's a pleasure to extend it. I'm happy to extend it. It's not a burden. It is a joy to share. Because the second condition of forgiveness is that once I've been forgiven, I now must forgive others. For if you forgive men their sin when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. See, forgiveness doesn't depend upon the repentance of another person. No. That means they have power over you. Repentance is like worship. It's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. God knows how great He is, how holy He is, how powerful He is. When we worship, the penny drops in our experience and we enter into His presence, where there is fullness of joy, where we're in a place we're open to His Holy Spirit so He can minister to us. Forgiveness. Have you ever held a grudge? Oh boy. Before I was saved, I had so much hatred. So much hatred. It actually kept me alive while I was in prison. The thought of murdering somebody. And I'm telling you the truth, folks. I fantasized about it. I used to have surgical gloves and a knife and a toolkit to do the job. And I was planning it. And it kept me sane. Can you believe it? I don't know about sane, but it certainly kept me alive. Long enough for God to reach me. Jesus just truly saves. There's some man walking about that wouldn't have been walking about, and he doesn't know. Jesus truly saves. But that man that was walking about probably forgot how he hurt me. And then people that you're holding in your heart grievances against, they don't even know it. It's you, it's us who's the prisoner. And unforgiveness, my friends, is like a cancer of your bones. It destroys your very being. And it comes out, whether you like it or not. It's like a valve, and it needs to be released. And whether you realize it or not, if you have unforgiveness that is festering in your heart, people know. Because you carry it around with you. It's a burden. It's a weight. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. The first to forgive is the strongest. See, when somebody needs forgiveness, they've sinned against us. And forgiveness, what does forgiveness mean? It doesn't mean that we forget about it. It means we trust God with it. It doesn't mean whatever that person has done is right. It doesn't mean wrong is right. It means you're releasing them. Ephesus, the Greek word to forgive, to pardon, to forgive, means to release. To let go. Oh, the freedom, friends. Oh, the freedom. The lightness of spirit doesn't mean to forget. It's not a violation of justice. God is a God of justice. When we forgive somebody, we're placing our trust in God. We are releasing ourselves from a snare, from a trap. It is written, it's mine to avenge, says the Lord. and I will repay. Because if we want to be the judge, and that's what we say when we hold on to unforgiveness, it means I'm the judge. Well, that's fine. But that means you're guilty and you deserve death. But the grace that we extend ourselves must be extended to others. First and foremost, for our own well-being, our health and our sanity. To forgive means to choose someone who's been, you've been holding in your debt, holding in resentment, holding in bitterness, in anger and in rage, and choosing to release, to let go and to give them to God, who is a righteous judge. It's not turning a blind eye. It's not saying it's okay. Forgiveness simply means that we choose to release somebody from our personal obligation. And we release them to a righteous God because of Jesus Christ. Cross his blood, forgiveness is now a choice. Isn't that wonderful? It's our choice. Forgiveness is freedom. The first to forget is the happiest. If we go right back to the start of Luke, Pastor Brian spoke. Right. Luke quotes the prophet Isaiah. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. See, when you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you're in a prison cell. I've been in both. And they're both as evil. You're in prison, friends. Give the recovery for the blind. To set the oppressed free and proclaim the freedom of the, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Hatred, rage, and unforgiveness is a prison sentence for the one who's carrying it. To release somebody from the burden of unforgiveness is freedom. It is total freedom. I remember the day a heart of stone became a heart of flesh. I remember the day. It was like I was walking on air. Everybody said, "What's happened to you? What's happened to you?" Because when we point to other people, got three fingers pointing back to ourselves. How can we judge? How can we judge, friends? Forgiveness. It's what our faith, it's what our religion is built upon. It's a foundation stone. This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. The forgiveness of sins. Can we say like Jesus, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing? The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Who do we need to release this morning? What people do we need to give to our Lord? Dear Father God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, please bring to mind the people that we need to release to you. Help us, O God, in our weakness, and help us to realize forgiveness is our decision. And once we release them to you, they're safe in your hands, O God, to bring righteous justice. And when the enemy reminds us, these people we've released into your care, into your mercy, help us to leave them there at the foot of the cross.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We ask this in Jesus' name, your kingdom, your glory. Amen.
Amen.